or something. The card said, I don't want to brag or something, but I finished my 14-day diet in 3 hours and 12 minutes. For some reason, that cracked me up. Anyway, I just wanted to relax myself maybe by telling that joke. So may this talk show you what is possible. This is a talk about you who have come here to hear the Dharma. It's in honor of Jeff Tipp, who embodied kindness, authenticity, and generosity of spirit. He basically saved my Dharma practice. Jeff Tipp was a conduit of the Dharma. You too are a conduit of the Dharma. We sat a 90-day retreat, a Kilche, together at Wagesa Temple, Zen Master Songtsen's temple, in the early 90s. We swept the Dharma Hall. He invited me to attend his wedding. He invited me to this Sangha as a refuge. Welcome to Golden Wind, he said when I joined. To you who are practicing the Dharma or hearing the Dharma for the first time, my given name is Denise Forrest. We are in this lineage which descends directly from the Buddha. It goes all the way back to the Buddha in an unbroken line, 2,588 years. Now, since the Buddha, we're lucky to have Zhang Bong Sansa to guide us. And with him, you'll experience your first samadhi. Whether I can transmit it to you today or not, I have complete confidence in the mind of awakening. I'm confident in the awakened state, regardless of how this talk goes. I want to tell you some remarkable things about Zen in Korea. This is our history. This is your history. I want you to know where you came from, to know this Dharma history, which you are a part of since you are here now. This is a brief reflection on Buddhism, on how it moved from country to country in the early centuries. This is some Dharma reverence for our lineage. Just giving you some perspective here on the lineage of Buddhism you are studying in or hearing from. So, when did Buddhism enter China? That's the first century. And when did it arrive in Tibet? It's the 8th century. And many people, when they think of Zen, they think of Japanese Zen. But what about Japanese Zen? Where did Japanese Zen come from? Well, Japanese Zen came from Korea and entered in this mid-6th century. So what about Korea? The first entry of Buddhism into Korea is recorded as the 4th century, 372. A Chinese monk from the former Qin, now known as Shaanxi Province. This lineage in South Korea, which Zen Master Songtsen came from, is called the Joge Order. Here's another piece of your history. The Tripitaka Koryana. It's a Buddhist teaching which extends beyond the actual work of the Tripitaka. It has more than that in it, meaning it's got something. It has not just it's not the full Buddhist canon, but extends beyond the Tripitaka. The UNESCO committee describes the Tripitaka Koryana as the one of the most authoritative and complete copies of Buddhist doctrines in the entire world. It's one of the most complete and error-free collections of Buddhist texts. It's stored at Nhayen-Sa Temple in South Korea. There were two copies. The first one was destroyed by fire during the Mongol invasion of Korea in 1232. The second copy, carving began in 1237 and was completed in 12 years. It consists of more than 81,000 wooden printing blocks. These wood blocks survive many centuries beyond their normal life expectancy. You know, still intact. The Tripitaka was designated a national treasure of South Korea. You too are this treasure. I invite you to take your seat. Here's more about Zen Master Songtsen. This is also your history. Zen Master Songtsen's temple, Wagesa, in Seoul, Korea, was famous and was settled in 1532. He was a masterful storyteller and innovator. who inspired many people to practice. Many hikers went to the mountain behind his temple to collect holy water. He was probably one of the first Dharma teachers in the world who had lay women and men, monks and nuns, practicing in 90-day retreats called kilches with people from around the world from as many as 13 countries. His Dharma sounds simple. However, this is graduate level material. Don't worry if it sounds out of reach right now. Just keep don't know. Is this a cup or not? If you say it is a cup, you are attached to name and form. If you say it is not a cup, you are attached to emptiness. What can you do? You're not left out of the Dharma or the ability to attain enlightenment if this is incomprehensible to you. It's okay. Just let yourself don't know. If you attain this completely and digest it, you've entered the realm of the awakened mind. Even after this is the basis of our practice in regards to koans, which Zhang Bong will tell you more about. Even after entering the awakened mind, there are years of cultivation. I'm dropping a lot of history out here, but from the time my friend Carl took me to the Providence Zen Center to the time when I moved to Berkeley, California into the Empty Gate Zen Center is a long stretch, but we're skipping it for time. So in Zen, in Berkeley, California, in a five precept ceremony, Zen Master Song San gave me the Dharma name O Shim. He said the name meant enlightenment mind. Pretty good, huh? He said. About 11 months later, I was sitting the first of five 90-day retreats in South Korea. I was interviewed in a six-page spread in a Korean magazine. People were kissing my picture and coming to see me. Luckily, I knew I wasn't there yet. Unfortunately, I wasn't tempted by fame. Back in Berkeley, I introduced the idea in the early 90s. I was the founder of the Lay Winter Kilches. Over a decade, I was in and out of the U.S. sitting kilches and working as a systems engineer. As a systems engineer, I had a knack for finding mission-critical issues in complex networks and designing them. Here's more on Zen Master Sung San. Some people may think a style of softness may be or is associated with the state of awakening. While this approach is admirable and unique to someone's style, Zen Master Song San's style was anything but this. You drive too fast. You die all for nothing. This was Zen Master Song San's admonition in Los Angeles just before I was to drive home with Matt Klein and others in his red VW Fox to the Empty Gate Zen Center, which was then residential. We decided to take a longer route and go up Route 101. At one point, I realized I was cresting speeds of 92 miles per hour. And I remembered Zen Master Song San's words with tears in my eyes. So I say to you now, you die all for nothing. If you die or your practice dies, there's someone you would not be a conduit for. There is someone you would not save and not know it. Maybe there's something you are doing. Maybe something you need to give up. We are all part of this Dharma route. Every one of us listening to this talk has the ability to attain awakening in this lifetime. If we try for 10,000 years nonstop, as Zen Master Sung San would say, I'm certain if we are moved to do this, we have the capacity to become enlightened in this lifetime. Another time at a meal at Empty Gate Zen Center on Arch Street, completely out of any context in front of an entire group of people eating together and in front of my boyfriend at the time, he blasted, "A strong woman must appear here." On another occasion when I'd been reflecting during meditation about how our German shepherd was the spiritual center of our family, Zen Master Sung San was doing interviews at this kilche. When I walked in and bowed before anything else, Zen Master Sung San said, "You must completely become like this dog." So how does our practice stand apart from many others? It's Zen practice. It's that Zen practice has the capacity to bring us to awakening. It's the direction of awakening and being of benefit to all sentient beings. I have complete confidence in the awakened state of mind and for all of us to achieve this in this lifetime. So what is enlightenment? Zen Master Sung San described it in words as the mind which is before thinking. He described this state as don't know, as clear like space. This is complete presence without thinking, judging, labeling, without thought arising. This is what affords us wisdom. This before thinking, this enlightened mind, we can attain in this lifetime. I have zero doubt about this. In this lifetime, we can all attain a light awakening. You might think that this seems really far flung. However, there are others who stated this. Wan Yo in our lineage in the 600s, Bankei Zen Master in Japan in the 1600s. The great disciples all achieved awakening, and set the 7th century Hui Ning and many others. So where does our practice take us? Along with more than 2 years of long retreat training, probably I've listened to more than 3,000 Dharma talks. That's not the end of the story. There's cultivation. Since September 2018, I've been sharing walking meditation. It isn't like this when we start. However, over time, this is your treasure. This is your wish-fulfilling jewel. The heart mind becomes united. It's joined at the central channel. Befriending your practice or your breath leads to the course of our lives. It leads to a state of appreciation, to contentment, to an inner connection. Our mind will start to be unified in a unified state, even in challenges. We'll get upset less, except we will feel strongly about injustice or harm being done to other people. And we'll be moved with compassion. You'll have patience and not be upset when somebody accidentally gives you a black eye. You spend 3 days trying to fix a toilet, or someone in a car almost hits you while you are walking in a crosswalk. Somehow you are saved and the whole street will go still with wide looks on their faces. This not getting upset, this non-reactive state is kindness. You will live in contentment in the samadhi of the enlightened state and bring yourself back there if you leave. So I want to share a couple of stories about this. One day I was in the Pete's Berkeley flagship store, not Starbucks, in Berkeley, California. I was studying for a master's degree, and I'm picking up a tea. A well-heeled woman from an upscale nearby store walked in. There is this shiny-eyed person outside who's asking for money. If it doesn't harm yourself, he says. She starts complaining to the staff at the counter that this man outside is annoying. Standing there, I interject, "It's not him who is annoying. It's your mind which is annoying." After that, you could hear a pin drop as the whole area fell silent. On another occasion, I was at a 1 month monastery retreat, and hiking around, I found that the map was not matching my experience of the land. There was also a main Buddha at that temple who looked as if he was holding a map himself. One day I went into an interview to have a Dharma interview with the great master there. And I said, "The map is not the territory." Then I realized that my remark was also simultaneously a direct hit about how he was holding the words of the Dharma as the path itself instead of the practice. After I left, I started to fret for a couple days that this great teacher would be angry with me. However, when I saw him again, he was kind. This demonstrated to me what a great master this teacher was and the great gift of his non-reactive mind as kindness. A funny thing happened recently in October. Upon doing some research about the timing of the arrival of Buddhism in Tibet, I called a friend of mine who is a Lama, and we started discussing Padmasambhava. More directly, I was teasing my Lama friend about how Padmasambhava had no recorded birth and death dates, and that therefore he must be a mystical character of Tibetan Buddhism. Of course, I was teasing here. A couple of days later, a replica of the Tibetan teacher of a Tibetan teacher was leaning against a short wall in front of the house. After another day or so, he was still there, and I took a photo to text to my friend. I said, "Is this Padmasambhava?" He replied, "Looks like him." A few days later, he was still there and it started raining. I decided to bring him up to my deck under a table. And eventually I realized I couldn't leave him outside after all, showing up at my house. So one of the things I like to do is see if I can uplift people in some way. Now, I love my work being a change agent, a systems engineer for people. I'm moved to see what clients are able to do. About 8 years ago, I founded my own publishing company, Stream of Wisdom Press, and published Love Can't Wait. In the middle length discourses, the Buddha instructs us to practice while sitting, walking, standing, and lying down in all activities. My latest book, Walking into Enlightenment, is a culmination of 42 years of training, a 69-page manual on how to walk right into the state of awakening, which I hope is coming out in time for Buddhist Enlightenment Day, December 8th. There's a long time in the black box, the lab of awakening. Just believe in your own awakening and trust it is on the way. You are this magic. Just wait and see. May we all attain awakening and save all sentient beings from suffering. I have one poem for you from Love Can't Wait. In affinity, you bring me back to the stream of who. Here's no sign, no story. The sky is limitless blue. This joyful infinity always available to you.
Denise, I want to thank you for that beautiful, beautiful talk. We will open the floor up, both here in person and online, for any questions or comments. But before we do, there are a couple of things that really struck me about this, that your you're urging to realize that this path is each of our paths, is often a stumbling block for Zen students. There's something about us that even we can't imagine that this is really about us, and this tradition would not be here today if it was not about us, because it looks directly and deeply into mind in a way that allows us to see through the reactivity we have that Denise so beautifully talked about, and find a way to turn that reactivity into responsiveness. And when we do that, we the responsiveness opens us up to the world around us in a way that invites everybody and everything we see into a very intimate relationship. So that emphasis on that, Denise, I just I bow to you for really bringing that home. I also want to, I had never heard of that interaction you had with Zen Master Sung San, where you came in to have a dialogue one-on-one with him, and he said, you must, what was the quote? You must become 100% like this dog.
So I was, I was meditating on our German Shepherd, our family dog, and how much I loved him, and he was the spiritual center. And then Zen Master Sung San, you must be completely like this dog. Right?
Animals can be really great beings to point the way. And at least to me, what he was really saying is this dog acts out of his own true nature, not trying to be something. And that's where our self-centeredness and our ego obsession gets in the way of us truly becoming ourselves. So if you have any kind of ideas about where this path will take you, I would really offer up a suggestion to realize what it will make you is become even more who you already are, which is perhaps the greatest gift you can receive. So I don't want to dominate things, but I really want to thank you for both of those points. Really wonderful.